This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, everyone, get out your sermon outline so you can follow along with today's teaching time. And please follow along in your own Bibles, because today we're covering the amazing topic of some of the work of the Holy Spirit. It's from Jesus' own words in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 5 through 15. And we're going to sprinkle in a few passages from 1 Corinthians as we go through today's study time. But first, we have to ask a series of questions to find out where we might be spiritually and use these as an evaluation. What might happen in the church in this country if believers across the land, from sea to shining sea, started to pray like we really want to see a fresh move of God's Spirit in the land? What if the Lord answered our prayers and sent a real revival in the land? What if the revival became a new awakening and a God consciousness spread so people everywhere we went were talking about the amazing works God was doing in our cities and towns? What if the Spirit of God was so strong that we actually experienced, as Martin Lloyd-Jones said, days of heaven on earth? What if miracles were happening all around and the cities and towns where we live were abuzz with stories of the amazing wonders of God? What if our churches were filled to overflowing because the Spirit of God was moving so powerfully and so many people were getting saved that the churches could no longer hold the crowds? And in our culture and across our culture, what if people cared about church again? And in our culture, what if people cared about Jesus again? What if all of this were to really happen? What if we were really willing to pray like we wanted to find out if it could really happen? What if we were really willing to pray for revival like we believe that God will actually answer the prayers of His people? What if we were really excited about what the Lord might do through the faithful prayers of His people? We might just see a fresh move of God's Spirit in this land. And today's passage is an introduction to what the Holy Spirit's work is to be among God's people. And again, we're looking at John chapter 16. This is Jesus introducing us to the Holy Spirit. And it's John chapter 16, verses 5 through 15. But now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. Jesus is speaking in this passage, and He talks about, at first, the disciples' distress over the fact that He was going away, saying, but now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. We know the disciples had no idea what Jesus was saying. And then Jesus says this curious thing, it's to your advantage that I go away and that I return to the Father. And you're kind of wondering, well, you know, in their position, how in the world would they understand that it was to their advantage that Jesus go away and return to the Father? Have you ever wondered about that? What might those guys have been thinking? Lord, you're saying you're going to go away and it's for our advantage you're going away? Can anyone tell me why it was to the disciples' advantage that Jesus returned to heaven? And it's right there in the passage.
To send the helper.
He's going to send the helper. Very good. Jesus promised to send the helper, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the helper. But here's another question. Why does Jesus refer to the Holy Spirit as the helper?
Because everything they learn from Jesus, they're going to learn from the Holy Spirit.
Okay, very good.
Enforce it, I guess.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit's going to reinforce all the things that Jesus had to say. That's good. Anybody else have any thoughts on this? Why Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the helper?
When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it'll help you achieve what God wants.
Okay, good. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's going to be the help you need to receive the things that God wants to give to you. Very good. Now, the Holy Spirit obviously helps us. However, there's more to Him than that. His role is to be with us, to dwell in us, to be our companion, and to make Jesus real to us. That's the first fill in your blank paragraph. His role is to be with us, to dwell in us, to be our companion, and to make Jesus real to us. For those who are believers, His role is to speak truth into our hearts and minds. And we'll have more on this a little later. Then Jesus speaks about the mission of the Holy Spirit, and we find that in verses 8 through 11. And when He has come, that's the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, according to Jesus in this section, what is the Holy Spirit's first mission? We're going to look at these in order. What's the Holy Spirit's first mission? To convict the world of sin. Very good. But the biggest sin is one that Jesus gives us in verse 9. What is that biggest sin from verse 9?
Unbelief.
Right. Because people don't believe in Jesus. Exactly. That's the biggest sin. And by the way, does anybody actually know that this is likely the only sin besides blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that will get you sent to hell? So unbelief in Jesus and blasphemy of the Holy Spirit are the only two things that can get you sent straight down to hell. Now, the sin is that the world doesn't believe in Him. That's one of the opening what ifs we talked about. If believers begin to answer the Lord's call to pray for revival, we might just see the Holy Spirit move by the number of people who would be getting convicted of sin and saved. Think about that. We talked about that at the beginning. What if? What if the church started praying like we believe that God would answer our prayers? We might actually see the Holy Spirit move and start convicting people of their sin and bringing people to Jesus. That would be kind of awesome, wouldn't it? That doesn't sound like, there's not a whole lot of enthusiasm for that. That'd be awesome if lots of people got saved because of a move of the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. Who said oorah? The biggest sin in this world is the sin of people not believing in Jesus. And it's safe to say that almost all of the other sins in the world are products of the hearts of people who don't follow Christ. So the major role of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin, and that means that His role is to bring people to Jesus. At this point, It's important for us to understand that conviction of sin and having our eyes open to our need for a Savior is the work of a person. An impersonal force cannot bring a sense of longing for a Savior. An impersonal force cannot make us aware of our sinfulness. An impersonal force can't bring conviction of sin on us. Something that has no beingness, something that has no identity, as it's just an it, that can't happen. This means that the Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity. And His desire is for people to come to know God the Father through faith in Christ via His personal work in our hearts and lives. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Then the Lord moves on to the rest of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Starting in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. Jesus says He has a lot of things to say, but His disciples couldn't handle them. Well, we can kind of understand that, can't we? Because that's pretty well true of us, that if Jesus laid on us everything He wanted to say to us, and He did it all at once, our minds might be a little blown. Our hair might hurt, you know, or something like that. Because we wouldn't be able to handle all of it all at once. The good news is that when the Holy Spirit comes, and that was on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. What do we think that means? What does it mean that the Holy Spirit is going to guide us into all truth? Anybody?
Pretty abstract.
Okay, one says it's pretty abstract, okay? All truth, okay? Now, here's one thing, and this is pretty good, I think. Jesus said in John 14:6, does anybody remember what Jesus says in John 14:6? And it might be on our wall here somewhere. Yeah. I am the way and the truth and the life. Now, Jesus said He's the truth. If the Holy Spirit is going to guide us into all truth, what would that logically mean? The Holy Spirit's going to guide us to Jesus. Not only that, the Holy Spirit is going to help us have more knowledge of Jesus. The Holy Spirit's mission is to make Jesus more known to believers. The Holy Spirit is going to get us more acquainted with the Lord Jesus in our own lives. And that's a wonderful thing, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if the Holy Spirit's going to guide us into all truth, He's obviously then going to guide us closer to Jesus. That's a good thing. Amen? Okay. So the first mission of the Holy Spirit is to lead believers to a deeper knowledge of Jesus. So we'll know and grow in our knowledge of God, and He'll teach us things we don't know, which is an awful lot. He'll even speak truth into our minds during those times when we need it, when we're trying to think of a quick answer. And Jesus tells us that in Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. Matthew 10, verses 19 through 20. Jesus says, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So Jesus is telling you, right then and there, when you ever get into these tight spots, when you're witnessing to somebody, and that means we should be witnessing to somebody, that if we don't know the answer, somebody asks us a tough question and we stand there, the jaw hits the floor. You know, we can't come up with an answer. Jesus is saying right then and there, the Holy Spirit is going to speak truth into your life at that moment, and you'll be able to answer that question. I can't think of how many times I've tried to witness to somebody and I thought of the perfect response 2 weeks later. You see, there's some times when we might not be flowing in the Holy Spirit and we're trying to operate in the power of the flesh. We need to be going and be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You got that? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So then when we get into those tight spots and we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will come, say, and He'll give you the answer. It's sort of like having your own, you know, like a little earphone there where the Holy Spirit's going to be telling you, telling this, you know. However, there's more. The Holy Spirit gives us supernatural knowledge of God that the world doesn't have. The Holy Spirit gives us supernatural knowledge of God that the world doesn't have. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, that the natural man doesn't know nor receive the things of the Spirit of God, but the person filled with the Holy Spirit does. Then in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, Paul begins to list the gifts of the Spirit. These are completely in line with John chapter 16, because we need to take note of the first two gifts Paul describes. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. That should be on your outline there somewhere. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So, what's the first gift? The word of wisdom. Good. What kind of wisdom is this?
Through the Spirit.
Okay, good. It's through the Spirit. We know that. Stanley Horton wrote in his 1 Corinthians commentary that this is God's wisdom because it's common sense wisdom that goes beyond our natural human understanding. This is wisdom that goes beyond what we know as people. But this is God's wisdom. He's given us that extra layer of wisdom that we don't have in our flesh. And that's a good thing, because I think we can all agree we all need some additional insight into this world and the things that are happening around us, don't we? Definitely. So, what's the second gift according to this list? In verse 8. The word of knowledge through the same Spirit. The gift is a word of knowledge. This one is priceless and precious. It's not to give us knowledge of where to find our lost car keys, although sometimes we'd like that to be the case. Then the Lord can't help us with those things. This gift of knowledge, note the increased tone here, this gift of knowledge is a gift that speaks the truth of God into a situation that will enable us to minister to someone who is in need. It's immediate and will deal with that specific situation or need. It's timely. It's for the here and the now, when it happens. The Lord will see to it that we have that word of knowledge about that person, something that they're lacking, something that they're missing, some pain that's in their life that they haven't told anybody, but suddenly you have the knowledge that it happened to them, and you speak to them, and they go, I can't believe it. I've never told that to anybody. How did you know that? You say, well, the Lord wants you to be healed of that thing. And that's why the Lord told me just now. And they'll have to agree with that, because how else are you going to know that? You haven't been reading their emails. You haven't been spying on their house. You don't have any eavesdropping equipment in their house or anything. There's only one way you could know that, and that's if God has told you. And so it's immediate, it's relevant for right then and right there. This word of knowledge is also one that gives us deeper insight into the holiness and greatness of God's character. Now, returning to John chapter 16, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will tell his disciples and thus to us of things to come. This one is tough because it leads us to think that the Holy Spirit is going to foretell our future to us. Forget that. God is not a fortune teller. He's not going to give you all of your day's events ahead of time. He's not a soothsayer or anything like that. What he's telling us here is things that are relevant for us in our lives. Leon Morris wrote that this means the Holy Spirit will be with us and will remind us of what he's told us before to enable us to deal with a situation in which we may find ourselves at a later date. It's like when there's a tough event. The Holy Spirit will remind you, you've been in this situation before. Do you remember what I helped you do then? Well, I'm going to help you do the same thing now. So listen up. The Holy Spirit's going to say, hey, it's not that bad. You've been here before. I got you through it once. I'm going to get you through it again. Stick with me. That's what this means. The Holy Spirit is going to speak into your heart the peace that you need at that moment to know that since he was with you when you were going through something very much like this in a previous time, he's going to help you get through it again. Then there's the glory Jesus speaks about in John chapter 16, verse 14. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus by giving us the power to live for Jesus. That means we can live lives that glorify Jesus too. That means we can live a life that glorifies Jesus. That's what Paul's talking about in the gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 9 through 11. And I would suggest everybody this afternoon go home and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 8, going through verse 11, where Paul covers all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Starting in verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. In verse 7, Paul says that the meaning and purpose of all of these gifts is for the mutual benefit of the church and the building up of the body. These gifts are not for the purpose of singling out someone to be more spiritual than everybody else. These gifts are not so that everyone can run around bragging about what gift they have. These gifts are not for the purpose of spiritual pride. They're for the building up of the body and the glorifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And think about it. Tongues and interpretation and prophecy, those are gifts that are immediately in need, and they are gifts that can build up the body and can give you the ability to pray with insight. If you remember back to our opening statements, what if the church could intercede? What if the church would pray like they believe that God will answer our prayers? What if we were really, really willing to pray like we wanted to find out? But in this case, some of us ask, but what if we don't know how to pray? That's what Paul's covering here with tongues and interpretation. And in one place in Romans, he said, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, praying through us for us with groanings too deep to utter. And that could be the gift of tongues. Where the Holy Spirit, we don't know how to pray. We just see right now the situation in our country and it's really awful and things look like they're going straight down the tubes faster than we can imagine. But what if we could really pray and touch the Lord's heart? But we don't know how to pray. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is the intercessor, to pray for us, with us, and through us. Just open your mouth and scream if you have to. Lord, I don't know what to pray, but God, this situation is getting so bad. I can't believe it. Lord, help me. And that's at that moment when the Holy Spirit will give you those words that you need to pray. That's the intercession of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the most precious gifts he can give. It's not going to make you weird. if you speak in a strange tongue. It's not going to make you more spiritual than all of your other brothers and sisters in Christ. What it means is the Holy Spirit saw a need right there and He stepped in to fill it. When you were trying to pray, you didn't know what to say, He came in, jumped in, and did the praying for you. All you had to do is just open your mouth. And for many of us, opening our mouths is not a problem. For many of us, opening our mouths is really easy. So then, open your mouth. Do what comes naturally. If you need it, the Holy Spirit will step in and do the praying for you. It has happened to many a believer many a time. And it's a blessed thing when it does. Because when you get done, there's this sense of release that comes. A sense of peace that comes over you. And you say, wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So now, we started out with our what-ifs. We ended with the spiritual gifts, giving glory to the Lord. You see, when we can pray like that, that gives God glory. And God should be glorified. And that's essentially what happens in a real revival. Real glory happens. It's the Holy Spirit's poured out. God's people walk and live in the power of the Spirit. People get saved. Miracles happen. And God's Spirit is powerfully in evidence all around. And as a result, Jesus is exalted. How do we connect all of this that we've talked about today? And this is the last thing in your handout. We get out of the Holy Spirit's way and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. He speaks His truth to us and gives us His gifts. We use those gifts for God's glory by living for Christ and sharing the gospel. Then we pray like we believe God wants to answer. I'll repeat. We get out of the Holy Spirit's way and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. He speaks His truth to us and gives us His gifts. We use those gifts for God's glory by living for Christ and sharing the gospel. Then we pray like we believe God wants to answer. And folks, let me tell you, we have only scratched the surface of the function and ministry and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So there's likely to be more on this next week. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.